today as we come to the table.
Listen, the bottom line is the Bible tells us, looking from a biblical perspective, that God's going to be wrapping this thing up at some point, and the signs around the world are pointing to God wrapping it up sooner than later, which means we need to be walking with God and honoring God and doing the best we can to take the moment that we have. This is our moment on stage. You've heard me say it before. This is our moment to serve the Lord. The stage has been set. We're here serving Him. We need to follow through and do that and be the witnesses that we can and then enter into the kingdom. I know we're going to be serving Him in the kingdom, but I don't know how many people you're going to be sharing Christ with in the kingdom. This is our moment. And so I love this admonition, and we have the same admonition that we need to take to heart as well.
This is our time. Before any of us were born, God sovereignly planned our entire story. We've never been closer to the end, when Jesus comes back and takes us home to live with Him for eternity. But there are still billions who need to hear the gospel and repent. Our moment is now, and it's up to us to use it well. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will remind us that our lives are so brief and that we must not waste them. We could just put our feet up, knowing that our salvation is secure in Jesus. But God has called us to do His work in this particular moment in history. So share the truth boldly, because the clock is running out. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, as he continues his message, Making the Unworthy Worthy.
Guys, this is so wonderful. First of all, notice this. He says, I'll take all your excrement-covered clothing. I'm going to put rich clothes on you. I'll take that trade any day in the spirit realm, because that's what God offered to each of us that are believers in this room, and that's what God is offering to every person in this room that doesn't know the Lord. If you've not made that commitment, He says, I'll take your filthy garments, and I'll give you new ones. I'll give you rich robes. But again, it really gets even more intense as it goes through the verse. He says here, I have removed your iniquity. Literally, the word removed is the word passed over. And why is that so sweet? He's our Passover lamb. He passed over our sins by His blood that we could be forgiven. And there's a beautiful picture of that. But this is what I love in this. Notice He says, I'm going to put on Him rich robes. It literally means festive robes of state. Guys, here's what He's saying. He not only took the filthy garments off of us, He's putting festive garments on us. Now, what do you think festive garments to the Lord look like? These are festive garments, and they're not just festive garments to replace the filthy garments that we have from down here. They are festive garments of state. That speaks of authority. That speaks of position. That speaks of the righteousness and the position God gives us. The Bible says that God has made us kings and priests unto the Lord. And the Bible says when He comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years, we will rule and reign with Him. And think about what that's going to be like. He's taken away our filthy garments, which we don't deserve, but He did it just because He loves us. That would have been enough. But on top of it, He says, not only am I going to give you something you don't deserve in taking away your filthy garments, I'm going to put festive garments on you. You guys are going to look great. I just wonder, what are you going to look like? You're going to have festive garments, but they're going to be festive garments of state. That is, you're going to be having positions of authority if you're faithful to the Lord. Guys, this is amazing. You talk about the grace of God. This is something that's hard to imagine. It's one thing, again, for God to show us His mercy and salvation. It's an entirely another thing to say, you can be a part of my administration, if you will, my rulership of the earth and ruling and reigning. And guys, remember, when we get these festive garments and we have this authority, it's all going to be in humility, because we're going to be transformed. We're going to be new. We're not going to have the sin nature. We're going to be childlike, not childish, but childlike, and walking in the fullness of God. And so there's not going to be competition or vying for position. It's just going to be festive robes and, again, different positions that we have and serving the Lord. I just try to imagine what this is going to be like. It's going to be amazing in the kingdom when the Lord comes back. And again, look what it says here in verse 5. He goes on. He's not done dressing Him yet. And I said, let them put a clean turban on His head. That is what the high priest would wear, a turban that had the holiness to the Lord written across the front. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Give this picture of the angels like getting him clothed in these festive robes of state, and the Lord just watching going, I love it, I love it, I love it. Like angels running around with the tailoring things, you know, and this kind of thing. Well, I know that's not what it was. I know that. I'm having fun with it. But again, at the same time, the Lord has such an outfit for you. He's got new bodies, which, by the way, I'm getting ready for. I want the new body as soon as I can. That gets more enticing, you know, every single year. I'm halfway to 122. And I'm feeling it now. But either way, I'm ready for that new body. But you're going to have the new clothing and the rich robes and all that goes with it. I just get this whole picture of the Lord kind of watching it going, now, this is great. This is wonderful. Now you're ready to serve in the kingdom. You know, it was interesting. When I was graduating high school, I worked at Hertz Rent-A-Car up there near Johnson City, Kingsport area, through high school. And my boss was a great guy. He was kind to everybody that worked there, and he's very wealthy. And he just, right when I was about to graduate, he just called me and said, hey, I want you to go with me somewhere. And he gives me his car. He drives me to this really fancy clothing place and buys me all these clothes for college. Things I could have never afforded that I wasn't knowing. And so he's like, now you're ready to go. And I was like, now go and you'll look sharp for college. It was just a huge blessing that was kind of, you know, given at that time. This is so much more than that. This is kind of like God saying, I'm getting you ready for the kingdom. I'm going to get you the best. Best tailors, you're going to look the sharpest. And it's not about the looks. You guys get what I'm saying. It's the picture of his love and his grace, and it's adornment for his bride. Guys, if these are festive robes of state, what are we going to look like at the wedding supper of the Lamb? Imagine the table set in heaven. And there you guys are just looking great in your festive robes. And you're just looking beautiful. You're the bride of Christ. And there's the Lord. And we're just having this big celebration. And just, again, it's hard to imagine what this is going to be like. But this is the whole picture of kind of the Lord overseeing all of it, saying, I love it. I've chosen you, Joshua. I know you don't deserve it. You don't have to tell me. I know you don't. I know you're not worthy. You don't have to tell me. You're not worthy. I'm making you worthy. I'm giving this to you because I love you and you're my child and you're part of my family. And he makes the same promise to all of us. Is this not great? This is why it's called good news. And again, not just because of all the reward. I'm not even talking about the reward. The focus isn't really on the clothing and all that kind of stuff. The reward is just God forgiving us and having us in the kingdom. But all the things that are going to be going with that is truly more than you can even imagine. And so the angel of the Lord standing by watching all this, and look at verse 6, it says, then the angel of the Lord, Jesus, admonished Joshua. Now this word admonished is interesting. You ever had somebody that has maybe done something very important for you in your life, and then they look at you and say, and you know they're an authority figure, and they're about to speak into your life something very, very important that's going to affect your life. Whatever that might be, you can think of those scenarios where maybe it's your graduation, you know, and somebody that you really love, a professor or maybe a teacher from high school says, now listen, I want you to hear me on this. Here's what I want you to know. If you'll do this, you're going to be successful. And you know this is somebody you respect and there's an authority there. This is what that word means. It's almost like now that he's taken away the filthy garments. He's now clothed him in these festive garments of state. He says, now, Joshua, give me your eyes. Look at me. I love you, and I'm overseeing this, and I know you don't deserve any of this, but I'm doing it because I love you. I've chosen you. You're one of mine. Now, I'm going to give you some instructions, and if you will follow these instructions, it's not only going to be good for you down here, it's going to be good for you in the kingdom of God. And this is the same thing the Lord's going to say to us. Instructions for our life going well down here, but also for the kingdom of God. How many of you realize God's not just concerned about your life down here? He's concerned about it, but he's got plans for you forever. He sees where you're going to be in the kingdom. He sees where you're going to be years that you can't even mention the amount from now. And there won't even be years, so to speak. We'll be outside of time. So it's not just now that the Lord is preparing for, although there are things that we can do that will enhance our life. And he's going to say that to Joshua, but it's much more than that. So he gets Joshua's attention. It's this very important mentor type word moment. And he says, thus says the Lord of hosts. Again, the Lord of armies is what that means. The Lord of Sabaoth. Again, showing this Lord of battle. Why does he remind him of that? Because look, I'm the one fighting for you, Joshua. I'm the one fighting. Some of you need to hear that this morning. You're being opposed by the enemy. Guess who's fighting for you? At the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. He's fighting for you right now. He's your defender. He's the Lord of armies. That is the armies of heaven. So he's giving him encouragement. Look, I'm going to be the one to help you do this. I know you think you don't have the ability. I'll give you the spirit. I'll give you the power. I'll show you what to do. You just trust me and you walk with me. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways, and if you keep my command, then you also shall judge my house and likewise my courts, and I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Now, there's so much in this. First of all, notice this. He's saying, look, if you'll do this, these are the conditions. These are conditions I'm giving you. Again, loving conditions, but kind of a tone of seriousness in that word admonish. And he says, if you'll meet these conditions, I will bless you now, and I will bless you in the millennial kingdom and beyond. That is the 1,000-year reign. What are those conditions? Look at condition number one. If you walk in whose ways? My ways. Not our ways. Not anybody else's ways. You walk in my ways, then I'm going to bless you. I've given you everything you need to succeed, Joshua. You've got it. But you've got to walk in my ways to make that come to pass. Number two, look at this, what he says. And if you keep my command. So walk in my ways and keep my word, keep my command. This is the key to us being, again, blessed and successful in this life and beyond as we store up treasures in heaven, as the Bible talks about and the Lord talked about. Obeying, not doing our own will, doing the will of the Lord, doing his ways, keeping his command. And notice this, this is a specific promise to Joshua that may not be necessarily applied to us. You know, there's applications that can be applied. But again, it does apply in another way. But he says, you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge of my court. So I'm going to let you be a high priest for me here if you keep walking with me. It kind of gives the implication, if you don't, I'll remove you. And the Lord doesn't need any of us, does he? He'll use us. But if we decide we're going to go our own way and live in sin, God can take us out like that. And God, his kingdom runs fine by him running it. And so he says to him, look, you do this, I'll keep you there. You'll be in charge of my courts. You'll get to judge my house. You'll be right there in that place. And notice this, I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. What are these? He's speaking of the angels. That is those that have been there changing his garments. And he's seeing in the vision all these angels that are around him. He's saying this, there's going to be angels that you're going to be ministering to. And here's where we talked about the double picture going on here. For Joshua ruling in that day as the high priest, or leading in that day as the high priest, but also for the future kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ when he comes back to rule and reign on the earth. Because when Jesus comes back, the Bible tells us he will bring us with him, the saints. The rapture has already taken place by then. He brings us back with him. And the Bible says the angels will be coming with us and all be together. And as he establishes the 1,000-year reign, it's going to be all of you guys in your festive, stately robes, if you will, whatever that's going to be, the clothing. But it's also going to be this whole situation of angels all over the place. Imagine, it's going to be wild to see just angels. You're going to be living among them. You know, you walk into the temple, morning, Michael, Gabriel, good to see you guys. I mean, they're going to be there, and we're going to be just living among them. It's going to become very normal for us to do that, you know? And so look at these feathers. Get these feathers. I'm just kidding. Their feathers won't come out. But I kind of play this out too much in my head, I think, when I go through these things. But again, notice these promises here. He says, you're going to stand among them simply because here's the application for us. We may not be a high priest on the Temple Mount, but if we will walk in his ways and keep his command, God has amazing blessings for us throughout eternity and even now that God will reward us. It's kind of this solemn, warning's not the word, encouragement. A solemn encouragement. If there was ever a time to not fall away from the Lord, now's that time. There's never a good time to fall away from the Lord. But guys, in the world that we live in today, and again, no matter how you feel about all these things that have happened and no matter where you stand, all these things, listen, the bottom line is the Bible tells us, looking from a biblical perspective, that God's going to be wrapping this thing up at some point, and the signs around the world are pointing to God wrapping it up sooner than later, which means we need to be walking with God and honoring God and doing the best we can to take the moment that we have. This is our moment on stage. You've heard me say it before. This is our moment to serve the Lord. The stage has been set. We're here serving him. We need to follow through and do that and be the witnesses that we can and then enter into the kingdom. I know we're going to be serving him in the kingdom, but I don't know how many people you're going to be sharing Christ with in the kingdom. This is our moment. And so I love this admonition, and we have the same admonition that we need to take to heart as well. Notice what he says in verse 8. He says, hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. I love the fact that he's speaking of the others that are with him, those that are going to be serving in this festive, stately, new clothing. He said, they're a wondrous sign, not just because how they look, but the authority they're going to have. And I think it speaks of the authority that believers will have in the kingdom of God and those that have been faithful to the Lord. He says, for behold, I'm bringing forth my servant, the branch. Now he's talking about the Messiah. So the Lord's talking about himself, but calling here my servant. Again, the Father speaking of Jesus, no doubt in this. Switching over, and the branch is another term used for Jesus in Scripture. Remember the Messiah? A branch will come forth from the root of Jesse, we're told. And also notice this, for behold, the stone that I've laid before Joshua. Again, the Lord is our rock. So you have this whole picture of these pictures of the Messiah, what God is going to be doing in that. And notice he says, upon the stone are seven eyes. again, which represents the all-seeingness of God. The number of seven is completion in Scripture, and the fact that he's omniscient, omnipotent, all-seeing, all-knowing, Jesus Christ, the Lord is. He says, behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Again, the Lord is saying, I'm going to bring Israel back, and I'm going to restore them. And all their things they've done are going to be wiped away. God has the promises that are still in place for the nation of Israel. So don't miss that. Again, you have the initial application, and then you have the other application of the nation in the future. And this is where I think that they needed the encouragement that God was going to do a brand new work in their day. And we need to recognize that God is doing a brand new work in the nation of Israel in our day. Even as God brought them back and got them ready for the outpouring of the Spirit in Joshua's day, in Zechariah's day, in Haggai's day, who was prophesying at this time as well, God is going to bring them back and is bringing Israel back in the last days and is going to pour his Spirit out on them once again. We're watching this whole dual prophecy here be fulfilled before our eyes. It's being played out right now. You know, it's interesting. When Israel was taken out of the land for almost 2,000 years, right before they were reestablished as a nation, which happened in 1948, May 14th, 1948, World War II had ended. The United Nations, in a rare moment of time, was in favor of Israel. They were at that moment because of what had just happened with Hitler. God opened up that door and gave an opportunity because God said in the last days he was going to bring them back. He was going to reestablish them as a nation. And isn't it interesting, even as God brought them back here after Babylon, reestablished the teaching of the word through Ezra and through others and Zechariah, we're going to see as we get further into the book of Zechariah, and then God began to establish and make the promises to a nation. In 1947, 1 year before they were reestablished as the nation of Israel, what happened? They found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And up until that time, there were people that were saying, well, the Bible's been changed. People have changed it. They've taken things out. They've put things in. Now we know, no, they haven't. Everything we now have before us, it's exactly what they had in Jesus' day and 300 years prior to that. Because the Dead Sea Scrolls contain portions of every single book of the Bible, and it's the same thing you're holding in your lap this morning, which means you can take confidence in this. I realize there's some editing. I realize there's some explaining that's written in by the editors. But the ancient documents, we've shown that they line up with the Dead Sea Scrolls. What did God do? He established his word again in the nation of Israel's eyes and in the world's eyes before he established them as a nation. Do you see what he's doing? He laid a foundation. And listen, Jews, Israel, the word of God is true. I promise I'd bring you back. Okay, 1 year later, boom, you're back in the land. The Bible says, can a nation be born in a day? The answer is, yeah, because that's what God did for the nation of Israel. No one else, but he did it for them. And so they're back in the land. They've got the word of God. They know that it's true. They can verify that, but they're sitting there. It's kind of like the vision we see again in Ezekiel when it says, can these dry bones live? The bones came together, skin went on the bones, but they didn't yet have any breath of air. Why? God hadn't breathed life into them yet. That's where Israel sits today prophetically. The bones have come together. They've come back in the land. They've got sinews and skin. They're there. They've got skin in the game, quite literally. But they're waiting on the breath of God to breathe on them. And when that breath of God breathes on them, they're going to come alive as a nation. The Bible says 12,000 from each tribe will be immediately saved. And then others will be saved after that, and then God will begin to complete his seven-year promise that's still remaining for the nation of Israel back in the land. So God has done the same thing today that he did back in Zechariah's day. We're watching this dual thing go on. You know, it's interesting. People say, wow, I would have loved to have lived in the days of the Bible. You are. You're living more in the days of the Bible than probably any generation in human history. Why do I say that? What about when Jesus walked the earth? Yes, that was a big deal. God in human form as a man on the earth, there's no greater thing that could have been fulfilled. And that is the peak, that one thing. But that was pretty much all that was going on prophetically at that time. There's like 11 or 12 things happening now all at once. The nation coming back into the land, God formulating the alliances between Russia and Iran that are going to attack from the north sometime soon. We don't know when. All that the Bible says to be happening in Revelation, we're watching it all take place. The stage is being set, as we said earlier. And so we're living in biblical days. And I believe we're watching God right now bring the nation of Israel back together. We talked about it, some of the attacks that are happening around the world right now against the Jews. God is using that to drive them back. And God said, I'm going to drive them back in the last days. I'm going to call them back, and I'm going to drive them back in the last days. Well, listen, I guarantee you, if God wasn't holding back the move of the Antichrist and the move into the last days, they would be arrested. But it's not time. The Bible says in Thessalonians, the restrainer is restraining until he stops restraining. That is God saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. And so we're living on borrowed time. God is holding back the wave of darkness. And God is saying, now you be wise, church, repent, be walking with me, use this opportunity. And then when the time comes, God's going to release his hand and that flood's going to come in. And from the indication we see in scripture, it's going to be the rapture of the church. Then God's going to let that go. And it's going to be so fast. God, it's going to be like that. You're going to see this guy rise up out of Europe that's going to take over the entire world. You're going to see everybody in harmony together in all these things that they want to do that the Bible talks about happening in Revelation. It's all going to be unified. Remember right now, the only one standing in the way of this big world movement coming together is America. And that's because God, again, has so many believers here, and it's not time, and God is using America. It's the Lord doing it. But God is holding things back right now with the most powerful nation on the earth. Listen, when the rapture takes place and we're out of here, things are going to go very rapidly. And so, again, this whole dual vision here that's going on with him. Notice what it says here. He says, you know, I'm going to remove your iniquity of the land in one day. And that's when, again, the Lord will come back. He'll establish Israel as the nation they were supposed to be during the millennial kingdom. And they're going to be, again, a holy nation under God when he comes back in the second coming. And look at verse 10. He ends right here in verse 10. He says, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. That is idiomatic throughout scripture of times of peace. That is the Lord will be ruling the earth. There's going to be just like, you know, you don't have to lock your doors. You don't have to worry about your kids out playing late type thing. Just there's going to be peace everywhere. And what's cool to me about this, it's not just peace among men around the earth. All the animals are going to be at peace with us as well. Won't that be cool? I just think about that. I was watching with my little granddaughter some of these, you know, God's creation type thing and watching these, you know, different animals and all that. That'd be so cool if you could just go up and look at them and talk to them and play with them and whatever the case might be. But you would be eaten. So you can't do that, right? In the kingdom, it doesn't matter where you go. In the ocean, in the swamps, it doesn't matter, all the animals. You're in Africa, a crocodile goes by, hop on his back and ride for a while, you know? Wave to the gazelle as you go by, and they'll be happy too. It's gonna be an unbelievable time. And we've never experienced that. We've never experienced the earth that is in harmony with the Lord ruling. And so what a glorious day it's gonna be. But guys, note this, and I wanna finish with this. I wanna wrap this up the same way that it began, and that is this. Look, even as we saw at the very beginning, do you feel unworthy of God's kingdom this morning? Are you battling with your life? God, I'm just not worthy of God's kingdom. Understand that's very normal and sadly accurate. But now I want you to rejoice. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with what you do. It's what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. Because of his blood, you are now forgiven and the unworthy has been made worthy. Now we as believers, we rejoice in that. If you're here today and don't know the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision and to receive the Lord. By the way, what's holding you back? What is so great about this world today? I mean, when you look at the world around you, what is so great that you want to hold on to that when Jesus Christ is offering you festive robes of state to live with him forever in a kingdom and have eternal joy in the kingdom of God, to be a firebrand plucked out of the fire? That's what God is saying to some of you this morning, and I want to encourage you to respond to that. Again, that's your decision between you and the Lord. God's not going to force you to do that. But why would you not? He loves you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the promises that you've given us as believers, for the hope that we have in you and the promise of the future, God. I try to imagine what's it going to be like walking among angels and the festive, stately clothes that, Lord, we're going to be wearing and just the way that things are going to be laid out, you ruling and reigning and the earth in harmony, Lord, not just among man, but even among the animals and all creation. God, the nation of Israel reestablished a final time. You once again will choose Jerusalem. It'll be the place of your throne. And Lord, there's going to be a unity and a harmony between the Gentile and the Jew in celebrating during that time. What a glorious day that is for the believer.
Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk has been leading us in a study through the book of Zechariah. This book serves as a reminder for us to faithfully serve God from generation to generation. The people of Israel were sent into exile because they stopped serving God and started worshiping idols, and God's protection over their land was lifted. But when the Israelites turn back to God, he welcomes them back into his loving presence and empowers them to rebuild what was destroyed. If you would like to hear more from Pastor Mark's study in Zechariah or in any other books of the Bible, we'd like to invite you to check out our website. Just visit thewaymedia.net and click on the Come to the Table tab. That's where you'll find links for our podcast feed and our questions and comments page. If God has placed something special on your heart that you have a question about, or you just want to share a praise report of what God is doing in your life, that is the best place to go. You can also download the Way Media app on our homepage so you can access sound biblical teaching no matter where you are. If you're near Knoxville, Tennessee, we'd love to get to know you in person here at Calvary Knoxville. If you'd like to learn more about service times and location, scroll to the bottom of the homepage and click on the link right above our street address. We'd love to get to know you and help you get connected at our church. One more time, that website is thewaymedia.net. Well, Pastor Mark has plenty more to share from God's Word, so be sure to join us next time as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.